I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show and Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, have the latest. And the latest is first. I know, right, we're going to make the announcement now. Tyler, there are no best bets this week.
Not till we get some sports back, because I don't want to.
So Friday, yes. Baseball comes back.
Yes.
Some best bet. Friday will return, but the next few days, there are no best bets.
I just wouldn't feel right, first of all, coming off that horrendous last week of bets to give these people home run derby advice. You know?
We got to get this thing turned.
I was trying to lead to that because when we left Friday, Clint, he was all reds through every day of that week. Did Friday get to the green or?
I didn't look, honestly. But I want to guess no. You know what? I'm going to look. I'll put on my brave face and I'll look.
You are the getaway day better. On our show on Fridays, his getaway day, he comes through. The Friday on the weekend that we don't know because we don't come back in till Monday to look at it, he's in the green often on those days, even if it's been horrendous the rest of the week. So that's clearly where we're going there. No best bets. He'll let us know if he was in the green with those bets. Many of you, if you went and tried to bet with him, hell, you know what happened with him last week. But a little 5 o'clock fire, Clint. The Astros, they stumble into the All-Star break. They went 1-5 in that homestand, that 6-game homestand against the Cleveland Guardians, who had entered losing 10 in a row and were 6-24 in their last 30. And then against the Rangers, who weren't playing great baseball either. They started off the series 9.5 back of the Astros, and they took 2 of 3. And, boy, the way things went Saturday night, the game that we attended and the one that Tyler left early, they were a Zach Short, oppo hit away from potentially getting swept for the entire homestand. My thought to you and the people, Clint, is – This league got trimmed to 5 games because Seattle swept Detroit. Has this kind of come back down to earth for you a little bit with the Astros?
Well, look, I think there's always the come back down to earth potential with the Astros, given how the injuries have just ravaged them. Right? I mean, I think that's always there. The key here is I think over the last six games, it just shows you how bad the Astros are going to have to play and how good the Mariners are going to have to play or the Rangers or anybody to catch the Astros. You're still 5 games up despite having finished 1-5 and getting swept – or not. I'm sorry, losing 2 of 3 to the Rangers. So, you know, the concern I think is always going to be there until they get healthy. Look, I think they finished 1-5, and before that I think they had – you know, they had swept a couple of really good baseball teams. They were like 13-2 or 13-3 against the teams in baseball, the division leaders in baseball that they had played. And the reality is, I don't think they're 1-5 bad. I don't think they're 13-2 or 13-3 or whatever the hell it was against division leading baseball teams in the first half. I don't think they're as good as one would tell you or as bad as the other would tell you. I think they're somewhere in the middle. And we're going to see, I think, until they get somewhat healthy. I mean, it just seems like every player that steps up and does something unexpected or is having a season that's above expectation gets shot down with some kind of injury, right? So until they get those guys healthy and get somewhat whole, I think we're going to see sweep some teams you probably shouldn't, and I think you're going to see some streaks of bad baseball.
I have to be honest. The way this thing was rolling, and I think I'd moved to a space, Clint, of I'm just not going to use logic anymore with this team. It doesn't matter. Fair, it doesn't make sense, right? You know, they went 13 straight series without losing a series, right? And that lead just start building, and it ballooned to 7.5. I think it was 7.5 on their off day, and the Mariners lost to the Yankees after being up 5-0 and pitching 7 no-hit innings, and they still lost that game. And it was 7.5. The lead was for the Astros. I had just gotten to a space where I was moving towards, can they catch the Tigers? Can they get the number one overall seed in the American League? I had just like stopped thinking about the division. Yeah. But as we saw last year, and I'm saying that the Astros and the Mariners, but as we saw last year, and we just kind of saw in a 6-game homestand, that lead can come down quickly. And you know, and this thing down to 5 with the Mariners coming up as the first opponent they play on Friday out of the break. Like this now brings the division a little bit more to me, to take it a little bit more serious than that, because if that series goes the way that it's gone the last 6 games, you know, now the Mariners are potentially back, you know, as in a serious conversation.
Well, you bring up a good point right there, Ron, is that first series after the All-Star break, you got to get one. You can't get swept right there. You got to get one.
Yeah.
Right?
It could be a 8-game lead,
right,
if you sweep them. It could be a 4-game lead, yeah, if they took 2 or 3. But it could be a 2-game lead if you get swept.
Yeah, a slow bleed is acceptable. To allow Seattle to flip this thing on its head and be 2 games back at the, you know, the first series out of the first rattle out of the box on the backside of the All-Star break would be a crying ass shame. So you got to get one, and I think it's more realistic for us. It's fun to come in here and talk about sweeping a team you shouldn't sweep and winning games when. What's my man's, not Zach Short, but the left fielder that, you know, Trammell won a game, and then what's Hummel won a game, and then we've had DiZenzo win a game, we've had Caratini hit a couple of, you know, have a couple of big hits, Cam Smith. It's fun as hell to come in here and talk about winning games when those guys are at the forefront and they're, but the reality of it is, you know, at some point it's just going to be, hey, hang on as long as you can until the cavalry gets here. Yeah. And, you know, we got to be closer to some of that cavalry getting here than we ever have been at this point. That first series, that first rattle out of the box, Ron, is for the Astros is hugely important.
Those of you wondering at home, Tyler went 0-5 on Friday.
Oh, boy.
I was better off not looking.
0-5.
That was the worst one of the week.
It's a week to forget.
Ow. All right. Okay.
Yeah, at least hit 2 bets every other night.
You know what? You needed the All-Star break. Yeah, you needed the break.
Well,
you needed,
set.
You needed cool. You needed the 2. Good God, man! 0-5,
not good.
Jeez, there was 3 Astros bets in there.
2. They both didn't hit, obviously.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Home Run Derby is tonight, and we've got a little extra. We got a little extra added to it.
Big Brent.
You got Brent Roker.
He looks like he takes BP real serious, Ron.
Does he?
Oh,
I mean, he looks like his dad's pitching for him. That's what he looks like. He looks like he's bringing.
Do you know his dad?
I don't know, judging by his photo, he looks like a guy, yes, that's bringing his father for the experience to throw BP, and his dad's thrown BP to him his whole life.
You know what I selected my guy based off of, Ron? When it comes to,
let me explain real quick.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The 3 of us. Tyler, myself, Clint, we are all picking a guy. I'm picking O'Neill Cruz of the Pirates. Tyler had first pick, so he is going with 38 homers. Cal Raleigh. And then you are going with Brent Roker of the A's. And whoever's guy finishes last or the lowest or gets eliminated first, they have to host a cookout for the drive show family, for us, the 3 of us, our kids and Tyler's dogs, and Tyler, don't bring your dogs to my house if I lose.
They're not invited.
Okay.
Dogs are off.
Only Ginger. I like her. But
none of my bitches are named Ginger. but I hear you.
Sugar, I meant, not Ginger. Give me Sugar. I'll take Sugar.
The big old head.
But But no, whoever loses, whoever's guy finishes finishes or is eliminated first has to host the cookout. And you're going with old Roker from the A's.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tyler went first, and I think he drafted the only guy that, like, is a far and away favorite. That's, I mean, hell, he's almost got the single-season home run record before the All-Star break. He's got 38 bombs already.
Yeah, 38 home runs. Your guy has 20.
He's flirting with Barry. He's going to be flirting with Barry.
Yours has 20, and then my guy has 16 at the break.
Well, everybody else had either 16 to, say, 24-ish kind of deal.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there, I'm going, okay, which guy do I think go out there, be a little bit of a stiff and not get too loose in the bars? Which guy's going to go in there and really take this BP real serious?
My guy looks like he's number two on the list of getting loose at the bar. Jazz Chisholm, hey, you know you're number one.
No, well, yeah, but big boy, I almost picked Wood.
Wood,
he looked like he could not give two rips about much of nothing. It became between Wood and Big Wood and Roker, and I said, he looks like he's going to take BP real serious. And he looks like a guy that when he gets in a groove,
yeah,
he can really focus on staying in that same groove. So I'm going to go with Roker.
Roker's not bad, and Wood was one for me too. I went with O'Neal Cruz, 6'7" guy. Like Jazz Chisholm, Byron Buxton, Acuña Jr., who was in it. He's not. Matt Olson, another Brave, is in it now as Acuña is out. But those two guys, like Jazz and Byron Buxton, they seem like they gotta get all of it going.
Yeah,
on a lot of swings. Wood, Roker, I think, or O'Neal Cruz, they don't have to get it all to get it out.
I don't have Caminero over there, Junior of Tampa Bay.
Junior,
He looks like he can really step into something.
He hits the ball hard.
He looks like he can really step into
grounders or whatever. He hits the ball
his
hard.
His exit velo specialist.
It's strong. But he's one also that's going to, at least when I watch him swing, he's going to give you everything he's got. I did see O'Neal Cruz practicing a little bit. And that 6'7" frame, you don't see a lot of 6'7" center fielders, do you?
You don't see a lot of 6'7" baseball players.
That aren't pitchers, but old O'Neal, he was swinging it easy. So, big one tonight. I feel good.
5 o'clock fire.
By the way, I think Tyler's going to be the one hosting it. And my kids are going to bring their swim trunk. All right.
All right. As they should.
Get off in there soaking poke.
There you go. All right, it has also been reported by many outlets. Jets wide receiver Garrett Wilson has reached an agreement on a 4-year, $130 million contract extension that includes him getting 90 guaranteed. It marks the first time in NFL history that a receiver has received an average over $31 million after playing only three seasons. He is going to be with the Jets, and they have... he's got six more years under contract with them now that they've added this extension on. But I guess the thought is now that he is now the fifth highest paid receiver in the game, your thoughts, is Garrett Wilson not just feel like that right now, but do you feel like in the next, you get the sense from him in the next 2 to 3 seasons that he's in the top 5 in terms of wide receivers in this league?
Ooh, man, top 5.
Because that's what they're paying for, right?
Yeah.
You pay them that way.
The problem with the wide receiver rankings is they all look so different, right? I mean, it's like you got some big bodied speed guys. You got like Garrett Wilson, he falls in that great route runner, great ball skills. The tank, like I was talking about Tank Dell and his ability to go climb the ladder and make a catch, his ability to contort his body around backwards and catch balls that most guys couldn't even get a hand on kind of deal. Garrett Wilson has all of that. So, yeah, I would say it's hard to put him in the same category with, like, the Davante Adams and the Mike Evans and those kind of guys. But, yeah, I would say that he's deserving of the money and top 5 money. Yeah,
I think he's deserving of the money.
I don't think we're going to see it. I don't think we're going to see it until they find their guy and their identity offensively up there. Justin Fields just doesn't seem to be like, if that's if I'm a coach and I go get Justin Fields, and I think they paid Justin Fields $20 million or something like that a year.
Yeah, but he's not. They're hoping he goes Baker or something.
Well, but my point is from an identity standpoint, is they got to get back to doing some of the things the Bears did with him when he was leading the damn league in rushing. Like, that's how you, to me, you know, kind of have show a little progress in your offense and your team overall is you got to play to that quarterback's identity. Like, you think Garrett Wilson had some frustrations with Aaron Rodgers. How the hell you think he's going to have with Justin Fields out there throwing the ball around?
Might be like the fella he had before.
Which one's that? Zach Wilson.
Yeah, Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I mean,
That's just my thing is you need him to be a guy that's been like what Tyreek Hill has done. I don't think Ja'Marr Chase gets this credit, but I think he is that type of player. Guys that really uplift their quarterback. A.J. Green comes to mind, where Andy Dalton was good, but he was made a lot better because A.J. Green was out there. Tua's been made a lot better because Tyreek Hill is out there, and we see even backups. He does all right with. That's what they're going to need from Garrett Wilson. Yeah.
I think Garrett's really, 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 really good. Is he on the level of any of those guys you mentioned? Yeah. I can't put my money on that. He may be, but I can't put my money on that right now.
All right. As we continue here, training camp is starting. Our mind is on these rookies. And there are a couple of rookies in particular that we are thinking about with the Texans as they start training camp next week. That we're really going to keep our eye on, that we think are going to be a big, big deal for the Texans this season. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, training camp. This is crazy, man. It's here, man. Training camp starts next Wednesday.
I'm so excited!
Yep, everybody reports at the same time, starts next Wednesday. We're going to be out there sweating. That'll be good for Mondays. Be out there sweating, getting it in.
That's right. Yeah. A Monday morning sweat will be good.
Maybe I might wear pants like Tyler just to get a few more. I won't do that.
Just get you a sweat top, man.
Follow your heart.
Get you one of them sweat tops, man. You'll leave there with just sweat. You can't shake anybody's hand without just pouring water out of your sleeve.
Like what you got right there, I will be bringing a towel.
Oh, a towel?
Yeah, I might give me a sweat rag.
I may get me a sweat jacket. Sit there and just have that water pouring off of me.
Really?
Why not, man? Get the most out of it.
Yeah. I still got that Academy Sports and Outdoors gift card. I got e-gift card from the in-laws.
What you hanging on to that one for, man? Oh, what you hanging on to that one for, man? Go and spend it, man.
Just waiting for the right time.
I'm going to do you a solid. Go down there and get you a pair. Maybe even get you two of them. Get you a pair of them Burley Bow shorts.
The what?
Burlebo.
Okay. Look them up.
Well, like, you know what I mean? Just look like khaki or maroon or blue or black or whatever. Tremendous. Real stretchy material.
Stretchy,
tremendous.
Comfortable.
Oh.
Okay. And they are there at Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Yeah. I got all kind of stuff right there. Burley Boy, all their stuff.
I'll take a look at it. Maybe I'll get me a pair. $75
I hear their swimwear is 50% off right now. You can get you a new swimsuit.
For a Turks,
get the
right?
Kids' new swim too. Yeah, that's right. Right for your vacation.
Turks, there we go.
Hey, man. Academy Sports and Outdoors, baby. They got big time into summer sales going on already, man.
Yeah.
July 14, into summer, huh?
There you go. Ready for the read, huh?
Yeah, we still got plenty of summer left.
Plenty.
We're trying to plan a cookout at one of our houses.
I'm telling you. Tyler can't wait to get over
there. Save me some damn money. Come on.
There we go.
Rooker.
There you go. BR.
Oh, Brent.
Let's go, O'Neal. All right.
First time I'm ever rooting for an A's player. No, I was a big Rick Anderson fan. I had a poster on the wall.
I like Rick. Training camp is coming, and the rookies are kind of a place I want to go in our mind right now, and rookies to watch. Clint, for me, Jalen Knowles is a big one because I just and maybe there's some other guys. Woody Marks maybe could fit a little bit in this, but I think Jalen Knowles is probably going to be the one that has the biggest chance to get on the field more consistently. And the reason for me, Clint, that I look at Jalen Knowles, and I'll get your thoughts on who it is for you, the rookie that's on your mind, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this as well. Nola is the one for me is just because I still think that the Rockets are missing easy, big chunk play guys, and not as much as, oh, they can go and get big chunks, but also that there is a concern or fear from defenses that they have the ability to go and get big chunks. I think Tank Dell was kind of that guy. Nico is capable of it, yes, and I can hear some people saying Nico makes big plays. Nico has made them, but Nico feels more the, I'm going to turn a screen into 25, or, you know, a crossing route. I may break a couple of tackles and turn it to 25. But Noel seems like a guy that can, bam, a jet sweep, a reverse, a screen, a short catch that he can turn into, you know, 40, 50, 60 big chunk plays. And I just don't think they really have any of that on their offense right now.
Well, I tell you, I don't disagree with what you're saying. And somebody's got to be that guy. And you know it's not going to be Nico. It's not going to be Christian Kirk. So there's a role there for him to jump on. But you know it's not going to be Higgins because he's longer than Nico is. So there is an opportunity there. I think number two, Ron, and I know we saw some flashes in the mandatory minicamp from Higgins. But if you watching OTAs throughout, what did we see? 4 or 5 different OTAs. I don't remember how many it was.
Yeah.
Noel was the one that the ball always found him. He was the one that in the mid range and quick game, the ball was always going his direction. So here's the thing. That tells me that the quarterback, although at that point in time it was not C.J. Stroud, because this is the period of time when C.J. had the Texans had all of us in a stir with him not practicing, there was obvious quarterback-friendly traits there. So I think we've seen enough evidence and there's going to be opportunity that Noel's going to get catches. I do wonder who Higgins is in a sense of stylistically who is he.
Yeah, right? I think he's going to be he's got a chance to be a big play guy.
Yes.
A big part of the offense. But I just don't know that he fits the, all right, man, we get it to him. Where defenses are like, oh God, man, we gotta make sure we got help over here. Because he might kill us something short. I don't think he's this. He explosive is, I guess, what I'm trying to get to. I don't really look at him as being explosive.
Yeah, I think there's going to be plenty of opportunity for Noel. Noel seems to be the more polished guy that will have the ability to do more of the moving, that has the ability to be, yes, a backup to Christian Kirk, but as well as the gadget guy you mentioned, as well as an all-around receiver that can play any of the positions and run all of the routes. And so I'm anxious to see. I do like Noel in the context of this conversation. I'm going to tell you the one that I really like, though, Ron, in this context is Smith, the corner out of USC.
You've been on him since they drafted him.
Yeah, look, I just think Jalen Smith out of USC. I think they drafted him because Kalen Bullock's boy. They're obviously cut from the same cloth. So I think D'Amico knew exactly the kind of player that he was getting. He plays a position at corner when we've seen the Texans go through a they lose Darby, who was a veteran third corner for this team. Then they turn around and they sign Arnett, who's a guy that was drafted early 4 or 5 years ago, got in all kind of trouble, and now he's kind of resurfaced in the NFL. We'll see what he is. There's a real opportunity at the outside third corner position, as well as a real opportunity to be more of a coverage nickel defender. Jalen Petrie's your nickel, no doubt about it. But when it comes to coverage-specific situations, I think they're going to possibly need somebody else. Jalen Smith could be that guy. So while I like Noel from you, I'm going to go with Smith, the cornerback out of USC. He's the one that I'm
thinking. How quickly you think we see him on the field? Because the third corner position is open, and we've talked about it with Arnett, who they brought over, and some of the other kind of younger cats they've had that have been here for a little bit. But it's certainly an opening.
If he's the player, the caliber player, like if he's cut from the same cloth of Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock kind of deal, I'm not talking about being that gifted, that good of a player. I'm just talking about the same cloth, like dependable and smart and tough and will tackle, all the things that D'Amico liked and it's why those guys got pushed to the forefront. If he's that kind of guy, which I think he is, I think it would happen sooner rather than later because there's just so many opportunities there, right? If he's a true corner and you don't want to play him inside, he's on the depth chart inside, but if he's a true corner and you don't want to play him inside, you can it frees up Kamari Lassiter to slide down there, and you know what kind of player he is. He's a hybrid cover guy that can also do the Jalen Petrie things. And so, or do you leave him inside and is he your option in more coverage situations for Jalen Petrie? There's just so many opportunities and options to get him on the field. I think it could be from jump. Now, the quit Miles Bryan is back. He's one that we've seen out there. We've seen so many guys pushed into action on that nickel defender position that I don't really know how that's going to shake out, but I think it could be Smith.
Yep. All right, coming up, we've got some recent from the horse's mouth himself. Jeremy Pena has spoken about where he is and how he's feeling right now with his injury. We'll give an update in what he had to say and – old Dana Brown, keeping it as real as Dana will keep it. He spoke to the media about some of the other injuries, and we'll let you know the latest on where the Astros are as they go to the All-Star break injury-wise with their important pieces. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Remember tonight, and not just tonight, but also over the next few days, there will be no T-Mills best bet. No bets. He said no sports going on that he cares about.
We all needed a break.
No sports going on. He didn't want to jump on the NBA Summer League WNBA games.
Correct.
The Home Run Derby. The All-Star Game. I mean, we could have done it. We could have got to Friday. We could have home run derbied it tonight.
You know,
we could all-star game it.
It's probably a good idea. The other way is clearly it's clearly cooled off a bit.
I just think this is a good opportunity for us to all take a break and reevaluate, gather ourselves, and get ready for the second half of baseball.
You know, I've been to took a break.
You never got started, man.
I know. I've tried to tell you to take one.
I ain't got no quit in me.
No, just get some break in you, though. He was in the red all 5 days last week. Why he's saying this is a good time to break. Was in the red all 5 days last week, multiple 2-for-5s in there, and then he really hit the dismount well. I mean, like Kerry Strug in 96. Landed at one foot, 0-for-5 to finish off Friday. Really.
Oh, King Ding-a-ling in there. The 2-for-5s aren't too painful, right, T? I mean, the 2-for-5s, they get you a little juice in one bet, depending on how you.
He had a push in there, too. There was a couple of those.
You can weather that storm. Boy, that Friday, boy, came a.
But is it harder? Isn't harder to weather, though, when it's been in the red? Most of, like.
Yeah, but there's a difference in when you go 0-for-5, you've lost it. It's all of it and juice. When you go 2-for-3, all you're really paying is one bet. I'm sorry, 2-for-5. You're 2-and-3. So you won 2, lost 3. You're really only losing one bet. Yeah, that's a storm we can weather. Whew. 0-for-5, 1-for-4. Ooh, those are rough nights.
Or when those 2-for-5 nights stack up on you, which they did.
Real quick, I do want to get to the injuries. If you know, don't look. The Tampa Bay Rays, what we just saw, the Lakers, they sold for $10 billion, the most we've ever seen. We've seen teams sell here recently. I think the Celtics sold for $6 or something. The Tampa Bay Rays owner, Stu Steinberg, has agreed in principle to sell the team to a Florida-based developer. How much do you think that they are selling the Tampa Bay Rays
for? What was the price tag for that most expensive one?
$10 billion the Lakers just went for.
Oh, they can't even get nobody to go to a game in Tampa, right? They ain't even got a home stadium.
I mean, the roof got blown off of it.
The roof got blown off the tent.
They've been trying to get a new stadium for a while now.
Oh, I mean,
850 mil.
You're serious? You don't think they got to a billion?
I had this feeling they didn't eclipse B mark.
They got to get to a billion. Just the revenue sharing, right?
Look at You're flinching. You're thinking.
I'll go 1.3.
1.3, and you're at where? Final answer,
850 mil.
850 mil. No, they are at 1.77 billion is what he has agreed to sell the franchise.
That was about a million off. $2 million.
He bought it for $200 million in 2004.
He made a little money.
Made a little bit.
1.7. I mean, unless they bled him for that's got 20, like 20 years.
Maybe the A's. Probably not the A's now because they're going to Vegas. Like that. Like who's lower? 1.7 billion. Good God.
Yeah,
man.
The Vegas thing helps the A's out tremendously there.
Yeah, the A's are the only team that would have been lower because, you look at the other bad teams. Like, I mean, Colorado, hell, they're still they're making money every night.
Yeah, but it's just where you are, your stadium, and all that stuff, too.
Yeah.
Oof.
Not a whole lot going on down in Tampa, I guess.
The top got blown off there.
Well, hell, they got them in St. Pete, which is
not a bad place, bro.
It's not bad, but it's far away. It
pales in comparison to the other places.
Yeah.
Right outside of Tampa.
Yeah.
You pull it off.
Yeah. I hope they get a new stadium there. They're playing in that $9,000 seat spot they've been playing in AAA, selling that sucker out, though. I'll tell you that.
Oh, are they getting good? They getting good attendance?
I mean, they're getting 9. They're getting 9 to 11. They're playing in the Yankees minor league, in their spring training facility.
It was probably an upgrade from that old tent they were playing in before, isn't it? The Yankees minor league
that
facility?
Tropicana Field? Yeah. That,
or spring training facilities?
The Thunderdome.
Oh, my God.
That became, I think, the site for WWE during the pandemic is what Tropicana Field became for them. They did all their shows there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, there you go. Good for them.
I'll be damned.
Yep. $200 billion at 1.7. All right. Here is, as we get going here, remember, coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, they will discuss C.J. Stroud not being in that top 10 as an honorable mention. And, of course, Area 45, they are back in action tonight. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago at 7 o'clock. Stay tuned for that. Jeremy Pena has spoken out himself. So
it's
this
a panty
feels dropper. Much better about his injury. When you hear it from himself, Jeremy.
No, I think he feels – I don't know if he feels better about the injury or if he just feels like this is a step he's got to take being an Astro. I think Scott Boras probably called and said, hey, man, give you own
– let me say –
give you own injury update.
Let me change that up. I feel better to hear it from Jeremy himself. Jeremy – well, let's first hear – oh, Dana Brown, this is what he had to say about Jeremy Pena yesterday before the Astros game. He was on with the Astros flagship, and he said Jeremy Pena could return for the Seattle series after the All-Star break. Said that that's a little early, but Pena isn't too far off. That's what he was asked, if he would return after the All-Star break. Jeremy Pena today said himself he has done some light hitting, light fielding, and light running. And was asked about a return timeline. He said, "I don't have any idea yet, but we're moving in the right direction. I'm very happy with the progress we're making, so we'll see what happens."
From the horse's mouth, baby.
But not just that. They were around the same page. Him and Dana seemed like they were in. They were around like they had. They had talked to each other first.
To be fair, I would have been on the same page because I looked up at 2 o'clock when we started the show and he was literally on Space City Home Network.
Doing some stuff.
Infielding, taking ground balls, throwing it across the diamond, running across the outfield. I mean, he was actually doing some baseball things. So I think Dana Brown must have been watching Space City.
I hope to God he's doing more than just watching Space City. That would be my hope. That he's doing more than watching Space City. So, but it is good that he's doing some light hitting more than some of his teammates. Light fielding, light running. We'll see if he's back to Seattle. So he's got another week off. He will be in Atlanta for the festivities, but not playing. So hopefully Friday he is back in the lineup with that rib issue. Other injuries. Clint, Dana Brown said of Jake Meyers that Jake will miss at the very minimum 3+ weeks with his right calf strain. So that's Jake. I would assume it feels like that situation got worse than it initially was. I don't know who rushed him back. It feels like a rush back because now, let's call it 4 weeks, folks. At least it'll be 4 weeks at least with Jake. And anything less, I'm going to be nervous and think they've rushed him back, especially the way he was walking off. And then the big one, Yordan Alvarez, according to Dana Brown, will be reevaluated on Thursday, as he said, on the Astros flagship. Once that's over, the doctor could potentially clear him to start swinging the bat, is what Dana told the Astros flagship. So that
I
is
kept a, it real as a true professional myself.
Kind of. That is the latest with those three big guys, those three big injuries that the Astros have. And I know for you, you said the Yordan one is a real kind of a weird, odd situation on in terms of his return.
Well, I think it would be completely understood if Yordan Alvarez and his representation said we're not listening to what the Astros doctors or trainers are saying.
Well, Clint, it should be three strikes and you're out.
I wouldn't blame him for anything. There's a real possibility that Yordan and his diva tendencies are part of kind of the frustration with does it hurt or does it not hurt? I mean, is there a problem or is there not a problem? You know, now then you've got the real injury of like how significant is it? Can he play through it? Does that have to be completely healed? There's just so many moving parts to what Yordan Alvarez seems to be going through that, man, it's even more of a mystery than these other injuries. And where in the hell is Spencer Arrighetti at?
Florida, man. Kicking it.
Gosh dang, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no update there, man. Dana didn't have that one, but hopefully, man. Reevaluate it on Thursday. Tyler is standing by his belief that C.J. Stroud will be under center in Los Angeles before Yordan plays again.
Would love to be proven wrong. My actual doctors.
Just can't. He is experiencing zero pain. Gotta believe that's not the first time that has been the case that he has experienced zero pain. All right, home run derby tonight. Let's go, O'Neill Cruz. We need you, baby. We need you tonight. Clint's got old Brent Roker for the A's, and Tyler's got
the Big Dumper.
Yeah, the Big Dumper. Great nickname. Mr. Cal Raleigh. That's something we'll be watching tonight. Loser has to host a little drive cookout at their house. I know it. I am too. All right, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron, the show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Yeah, I don't think ending every bad suggestion with you better be ready on Monday. I actually told him
to follow his heart too.
Oh, okay,
you know where
your heart, not my advice.
Yeah, my heart almost.
Boy, if that ain't the damn truth,
to Frenchies then afterwards is with my heart. What is going on, crap?
Damn.
I want my wife next. It's gonna be a lot of grinding and pounding. She know what it is. Fine ass.